All right, here we go. Chris isn't ready, but we're starting anyways. It is week 14 in the NFL. This is the BetUS show, powered, of course, by BetUS. We appreciate it. Like, subscribe to the channel before we get underway. Lots of really good content on the channel, not only the NFL show, college football wrapping up this week with Army Navy, and we'll get into the bowl season, of course, NBA and college basketball, very hot and heavy as we move right along. Joined as always by my trusty co-host, Steve Fezzik, only available at pregame.com and Las Vegas. Chris, are you ready now? Can we start the show? Do I have your blessing?
Well, what about me? Where am I available?
You are available right here, right now, apparently. Or I guess not ready. Not quite available just yet. But again, we push forward because the NFL season stops for no one. Couple more housekeeping things to get to before we get started. As always, golden ticket. I'm already starting to see people. We already had look ahead numbers bet on the golden ticket last week. I'm already seeing people in the chat. I'm very excited to see who has the golden ticket this week. Of course, if you guess correctly, there's a truck going across your screen. You will get a chance to win that truck with a free entry into the contest. And you can be a BetUS super fan for $1 a month. You get all kinds of cool stuff, including custom emojis and priority access in the chat. But of course, most importantly, like, subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can get all of the content as we move along. All right, guys, week 14 now in the league. Fez, how are we feeling heading into this week? How was your contest week, most importantly?
Contest week was difficult for everybody at the top. Without going into great detail, if you grab some of the value numbers, you did not do well last week. I did not do well. I went 2-3. By the way, Corey has me to win the golden ticket -200, which clearly there it cannot be unbiased since I win the golden ticket every week. No real damage against the top guys. I remain tied for, I'm in second place, tied for second now in Circa Millions, but a whole bunch of guys that were, you know, 3 games back are now 2 games back and 1 game back. So things have tightened up. Need a big week, week 14. Scott says, need some winners here, Fezzik. I've summarized my season as follows. Tuesday, good. Wednesday, Thursday, bad. Friday, Saturday, good. It's pretty amazing because obviously you catch me at any snapshot in time. I only sell my picks at pregame.com. So if you want to see what I'm actually playing, amazingly, I've had a very solid NFL year. I've had a great college football year. Can't name a player, but I got good contacts. Yes.
That's all that matters, right, Chris? As we move forward into week 14 in the NFL, it's crazy because we absolutely the season every year goes by quicker and quicker. Do you think it's harder or easier as you get towards this last month of the NFL season?
It varies from year to year for me. Usually I fare the best when I feel the most uncomfortable, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It seems like when I start to settle in, don't be that way. You settle down now. And then when you feel you're a little bit tepid with the card, all of a sudden, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that. And all of a sudden it all won. And you bet half as much as you normally would have. So it's unpredictable. It changes from year to year.
Yeah, certainly fair. Speaking of unpredictable, let's check out our records as we always do at this time before we get into the card this week. And Fez, I asked you before the show off air, and I'll ask you now live on the air. What would you have set the odds that at this stage, heading into week 14, I was the only one with an above 500 record on the season?
You know, as far as the odds making, people get fooled by variance in that they think that someone who's very competent is going to, you know, hit right around 55%. And the truth is, I've done enough of these shows and contests. I can tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, we had a beat Bogdanovich contest, like this was like 2005. And I went head to head with famed bookmaker Nick Bogdanovich, bankrolled partially by Jimmy Vaccaro. So those guys hit 62% against me, 25,000, winner take all. And I won. Had some really good contacts helping me. So I've had, you know, monstrous great contests, and I've had bad patches. Last year, Visa Invitational, 6 games below 500. So people ask me, how do I expect to do? I always tell them 55% plus or minus 15%, and then the variance kicks in.
Chris, how are we feeling heading into this week, pal? Wow.
That's a dramatic long, pause. Off, I have no answer there. For.
So let's just dive right in.
Red Pop, by the way, in case they were wondering in the chat, from Detroit, shipped in.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how this week is going to go. It's been some real ups and downs for me this year. So I'm just trying to get through it.
Okay, well, let's get through it together. Let's start on Thursday night. And I'll be honest, guys, this one, we're going to need some kind of a beverage, a stiff one to get through it. By the way, two teams on a bye week this week. So we have 15 games to get to. And this is the first one Thursday night. Look ahead between the Steelers and the Patriots was kind of where the line was sitting now, kind of sitting around that six mark. Steelers last week lost outright as a home favorite to the Cardinals. I was on Pittsburgh in some capacity. I know a lot of the people here on the panel were as well. Kenny Pickett was injured in that game. That means we'll get Mitchell Trubisky this week. Patriots, I mean, goodness gracious, shut out at home by point underdog. And the Patriots now have failed to eclipse 7 points in three straight games. That you heard that right. They have not scored more than 7 points in now almost a full month. But guys, the real story with this game is the total, which is sitting at around 30, and it would be the lowest over-under, obviously, in any game this season. And I was doing some research on BetLabs, the database I use, which goes back to 2004. No total has ever closed sub 30 on that database. And again, this is about 20 years of data here. And the four totals that closed at 30, three of them involved the 2005 Bears, went 2-0-1 to the under. And the only over in this stretch was in 2004, a total of 30. The game went over between the Bills and the Dolphins by a field goal. So obviously points probably at a premium in this game. Chris, I'll start with you because it looks like you believe Pittsburgh will win, but probably not by a whole lot.
I'm going to call an audible, and I'm going to scratch this play.
Oh, boy. I'm sure the graphics people are going to love this.
Yeah, you know what? I can't weave my betting around the graphics department this week.
It's fair.
This is a difficult week, and I do want to have a position on Pittsburgh, and I'm going to play it very strangely. Steve can yell at me all he wants, but on a standalone game, I just want what I want on that one game, and I can do whatever I want afterward. I can pivot. So I think Pittsburgh's going to win this game or lose this game by a field goal, and I'm going to start off a three-team teaser instead of the parlay I had written down. I don't trust Pittsburgh to cover. I don't know who, you know, how much they're going to win by, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh +4. And BetUS has very favorable teaser rules that you will not lose your teaser on a push like many places. And that's one of the reasons why I'm able to do this play, because I don't care if I, you know, my perspective is, why am I going to play this game straight when I can just play it on a standalone? And I'm going to stick it in with San Francisco -0.5, which I'm dying to get in some way, somehow. And this putting this Pittsburgh out in front gives me that excuse. And I'm going to pair the third part of it with Tampa Bay +12.5. So I'm going to do a three-team teaser of it. And for all you people complaining about all the teasers I do, look at how many games last week alone you didn't know who was going to cover within the last minute or two. Look at how many of those games that the handicap didn't even matter. There are so many of these games, and you need to get as many points as possible in your arsenal. You need them in your pocket because these games are becoming coin flippish. And it doesn't matter how you handicap the game. You can't take credit for the handicap if either team could have won in the final 30 seconds or final 60 seconds. So I see a lot of that now, and I basically buy insurance, and I'm doing very well on it doing it that way.
So during the offseason, I am going to do some research on these sweetheart teasers, where that's what they refer them as, the 10-point three-team teasers. As Chris mentioned, most places, if you tie on any of the legs, you lose. So in most books, you have to avoid integers at all costs because ties lose. But apparently that's not the case here at BetUS, and I will do a I'm going to do a lot more research. I can tell you this. It's pretty obvious to me when a total is 30, 10 points yeah. becomes very, very valuable. I wouldn't want a book plus 16 or minus or plus four on either side on the side. And I wouldn't want a book an over 20 or an under 40. In terms of this total, full disclosure, I gave this out to my clients under 35 on the early look line. Yeah. So I'm not going to go under 30, but I can tell you super low totals. Historically, you're better off going under than going over in them. Godzilla says in the chat room, I don't want to talk about this game. Focus, Godzilla. We love weird yep. games. We love games with totals around 30 because they give you opportunities that you wouldn't normally have because the normal pricing on things like number of punts, field goal versus touchdown to start the game wind up yep. being priced completely wrong. I'll give out a nugget here. It's getting harder and harder to find. Army's playing Navy this week. There will be a book that will put, what will the first turnover be? An interception or a fumble, which typically is close to a pick 'em. Well, when you run the ball 95% of the time, you have more fumbles. So I'd encourage yeah. you to not bet interception. That would be the Dumbo bet of the year in the Army-Navy game. You get the idea. So these really low totals offer opportunities for those who are prop specialists.
Yeah, great way to look at it. The derivative markets tend to be the ones that take the longest to catch up. The props, the weird stuff. And when you have a game like this, you never know. I went deep dive on this total excursion last night because I was trying to find games that had totals this low, and it was the early 90s the last time we saw a total close in the 20s. So again, this is like historic stuff we're dealing with the Steelers and Patriots game. Totals just aren't this low in the NFL anymore because of all the rules. So be wary if you're betting the under, but clearly the under is the trend. It has moved significantly since open. And this year alone, totals 35 or lower, 4-0 to the under. To Fez's point, when they're this low, they are low for a reason. No play for me and Steve. Chris is going to put Pittsburgh in a sweetheart teaser. Thanks for calling us a sweetheart, pal. Moving Pittsburgh now to plus four, and we'll pair that with some games a little later in the show. All right, let's move on to Sunday's games. This is, an interesting game in terms of volatility with the line movement. Maybe not very interesting in terms of the players because of what happened on Monday night with the Jaguars. Now, they were a three-point favorite going into Monday night, and then all of a sudden Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. The line flips. Now we're seeing Cleveland as, I would call it, almost 3.5. So that would imply about a six-point move from Lawrence to Beathard. So I'll start right there because there's really no point in analyzing this game past that initial quarterback move, Fez. And you're my QB guru. Would you say a six-and-a-half-point move from Lawrence to Beathard is a fair move?
No. I have Lawrence the 10th best quarterback, but curiously, there aren't very many good quarterbacks left in the league. So 10th best is average, basically. I have Lawrence 1 point better than an average quarterback, which would be, oh my gosh. Like Derek Carr and Fields and Murray and Wilson now. I've got Lawrence better. But I got Beathard actually as a decent backup quarterback, a -3. There's a 4-point difference. So I only have a 4-point downgrade on Jacksonville, not nearly what the marketplace is saying. So that's a big part of your handicap. But my confidence level in Lawrence is high. Beathard, not nearly as high. Mm.
Chris, what do you think that's a fair line move here from basically 3-3 on both sides after the Lawrence thing on Monday night?
Well, here's the problem is Cleveland is an entirely different team at home. So the road home splits have, kind of wreaking havoc with this matchup when you combine it with the quarterback issues on both teams and the injuries you've got. Kirk is out also, correct?
Yes, that is confirmed. And I think Flacco is starting for Cleveland, which frankly, he didn't look terrible on Sunday. I think the Jets would like Flacco back.
He looked great until he didn't. boy, was I glad he was in the lineup until he threw that pop-up needlessly ruined a lot of stuff that I had going. But I'm still in the process of figuring this game out, and I'm not quite sure because I think there's just a lot of variables. Cleveland has a history of playing much, much better at home, but we also have a Jacksonville team. If I'm not mistaken, aren't they undefeated on the road?
I believe
they're 5-0 on the road.
Yeah, I believe so. Fez, do you have anything to follow up on Flacco this week? Did you upgrade or downgrade? I mean, because we obviously haven't seen him a ton, so tough to get a true rating on him. But he didn't look terrible. Like, he looked like he was at least competent, which is saying
something. Yeah, I upgraded them, but that's because I had downgraded them severely. I thought Flacco was like a -4.5 quarterback, and I upgraded him to like a -3.5 based upon a competent mid-200-yard passing game. Obviously, bad performance in the fourth quarter, but the first three quarters played way better than expected.
Yeah. So no plays for us in this game. Again, it does seem like we're all kind of waiting, and we don't even know if Trevor Lawrence is going to play this week. I saw that he didn't practice today.
He got his ankle amputated. How could he play?
Yeah. Well, they couldn't get the poor guy a cart. He had to walk like a mile to get to the hotel or to get to the hospital in Jacksonville just to get the x-ray. But I haven't heard official word on him yet. And I guess the follow-up
there is, I saw it scrolled that Beathard's going to be named the starter.
Okay, so do you think the line, now that that is official, because I think today was the first day that I really heard confirmed news about that, because we just heard from Peterson today. Do you think this line moves a little bit more towards Cleveland?
I think it's a classic. You lay 3 or you take 3.5 on this game. You cannot bet this without getting a 3.5 on Jacksonville.
Mm. And a good comment in the chat by Wilkman. DTR is practicing, Flacco official. I don't know the answer to that. It does seem like there's a lot of uncertainty at both sides at quarterback here. Beathard looks like he's going to play. Not sure about DTR to Flacco. I don't know what I would prefer there, but let's just move on because no one has any bets on this game. And frankly, there's a whole nothing burger with what's happening in Cleveland. So let's go to Baltimore, another AFC North team. Hosting the Rams this week. Look ahead was Baltimore -7.5. Saw a little movement towards the road underdog. Now we're kind of back onto the 7. Rams took care of business last week, as we talked about, played Flacco tough in the fourth quarter, pulled away late, covered against the Browns. The LA offense now has looked pretty good the last couple weeks. 36 points now in 2 straight games, at least 36 points. Ravens coming off the bye. And I think that's noteworthy. Of course, they beat the Chargers 2 weeks ago on Monday night, so they are rest advantage in this game. And guys, I think the total was noteworthy. We've seen this total drop about 4 points from the open, and we're all kind of on this game in some capacity. We all think Baltimore is the side, but Chris, I'll start with you because it does look like another teaser. We're all kind of teasing this one, but we're all teasing it in different ways.
Yeah, I like Baltimore to come away with this win. There's a lot of Rams love going on. They're finally healthy. So, supposedly, Baltimore, this is going to be an interesting game. It's going to be crappy weather. I don't think there has not been a weather update on this game for it to be improved. I think there's going to be difficulty with the Rams being able to move the ball on the ground against Baltimore. And if it's rainy and windy, it's going to be difficult to throw the ball. So I definitely lean toward the under. I'd like to have that 41 that's not out there at the moment. I did play under. I played under at higher numbers before. And I do like them to just win the game. So I need to pair them and use them in a teaser. I'm certainly not going to lay 7 because they'll be winning by 24 and then they'll give up 21 late ones and win by 3 or lose outright or something. But I'm going to take Baltimore with Buffalo +8. And I'm also going to pair them with Tampa Bay +8.5. And bet US pays +160. Which is a better wager than laying -120 on a teaser. So rather than laying a price, I'm going to take plus money.
Very good. I, too, am going to be on teasers. By the way, Chris, if you want that 41, all you got to do is hop on a Southwest Airlines flight to the East Coast and head to Delaware Downs, where they'll give you 500 on the under 41. So these unique sports books are excellent opportunities. If you're not a betting syndicate, not looking to get a lot of money down, probably not worth your while, though, to spend the 8 hours of travel time.
You spend more on the plane ticket these days.
Yes. The careful, here comes some math warning. So we love games like this. 7.25 is what Baltimore's favored by. They're laying 7, but there's some 7.5s. So we all know long teasers, we don't tease -7s typically down to -1. But when the line's 7.25 and a book gives us a minus 7 with a little extra vig, we love teasing that because the extra vig, that goes into the garbage can. It isn't factored in when we tease. So, and we get flexibility. We can tease Baltimore in a 6-point teaser to minus 1, or we can use a 6.5-point teaser if we need it down to minus a half. They both work. I'm going to use both. I'll tease Baltimore down to 1 with Buffalo up from plus 2 to plus 8 and a 6-point teaser. And I've got to go 6.5 points when I tease Baltimore down to minus a half because I need the Bengals. Boy, I love those white helmets. They look so good. Tease from 7 up to 7.5 for Cincinnati with the much despised backup quarterback that actually showed some competence. So I have no favoritism to Baltimore at the minus 7.25. I know the Rams are running the ball well. I don't trust the Rams in the bad weather, off some good performances. So LA team in bad weather, much prefer the Ravens rushing attack to the resurgent Rams running attack. I'm on the Ravens in the teasers.
Yeah, Ravens teasers seem pretty fair this week. I like that Bengals look to getting them up through the key, and we'll get to that game in a little bit. But I think it's fair right now. And the follow-up here, guys, is Baltimore the best team in the AFC? I mean, you've got Buffalo down, Kansas City a little bit down. You've got Jacksonville that just lost Trevor Lawrence. I think Miami is right there. Their defense seems to be trending up. Chris, if you had to rank the AFC teams right now, current form, throw the rating out the window, but just you had to pick one to win the Super Bowl right now or go to the Super Bowl, would it be Baltimore, or would you still lean in another direction there?
Oh, I absolutely, it has to be Baltimore from the AFC. It's, we'll have to see how they do in postseason, though. We know that they haven't fared well, but they could be a real contender. You know, Andrews is going to be back. Jackson has three great receivers to throw the ball to. If that team can go into the playoffs healthy, have that home field advantage, and possibly skip that needless game, if they can get that number one seed, that puts them in the real driver's seat. You definitely have to consider them live to go deep, deep, deep.
Fez, you agree? Baltimore number one right now?
It's complicated. Miami is the highest power-rated team, but that's because if all three of these teams play the Carolina Panthers, Miami will beat them by the most, all right? but if they all have to play against San Francisco, now I don't want Miami anymore. So it depends who they're playing against in terms, and it's complicated because Baltimore isn't good in the playoffs historically. I tell you what, they are really good against NFC teams that haven't seen that quirky attack. You know, Dominic just asked a great question in the chat room. He says, well, how about we do the double result and we just take Baltimore to win the first half and to win the second half? Let me price that real quick for you. So if I take a look at first half, I want to look at first half money line for Baltimore. And I see at many books, the no vig is like minus 210. But ties lose because I got to win the first half. Okay.
Got to win the first half.
Right. So because of that, it's like I would say, without doing all the ugly math, I would say if you could get a Baltimore double result at like minus 165, I think that would be solid value. I wouldn't go past like minus $1.75.
Great stuff. Yeah, I think we're all kind of in agreement that Baltimore is going to win this game. And we're all teasing the Ravens in some capacity. The teasers get a little convoluted, but Chris is doing a three-teamer, Baltimore, Buffalo, Tampa Bay. I'm on Baltimore with Cincy, and Fez is pairing Baltimore with Buffalo and then basically using Baltimore as a key in the teaser. Baltimore with Buffalo and then Baltimore with Cincinnati. So again, teaser action in the Ravens game. It does seem like that is the consensus play across the board. Let's move on. Chris's Detroit Lions are heading to the Windy City, although based off of our pre-flop chat, Chicago maybe not as windy as we expect, but we'll get more on that in a minute. This look ahead was 5.5. We have seen some home dog love here. The Lions did win and cover in New Orleans last week. They snapped that 2-game skid where they failed to cover at home against the divisional opponents, Green Bay and Chicago, excuse me. Yeah, and you have the Bears off the bye. Last time we saw them was Monday Night Football 2 weeks ago in Minnesota. They won outright as a 3-point favorite. And the obvious elephant in the room here, guys, these teams played just a couple of weeks ago. The Lions needed that late comeback. They did win the game by 5. They did not cover as a 7.5-point favorite. So, Chris, I guess I'll start with you since it's your Lions. How have your numbers and feelings on these teams changed since that game a few weeks ago, where Chicago could have, maybe should have won, but Detroit was able to come back late, win it, but fail to cover.
Detroit has some leak or chinks in the armor, so to speak. Ragnow, considered by many as the best center in the NFL, was injured last week. We don't know what his status is. He did not practice today. He's an important cog. Detroit just lost their second best defensive player for 4 weeks. So that does not bode well for them, because we obviously know the Lions are having problems on defense. So there's a little worrisome feelings going through the clubhouse on that and through betting areas. Can we trust the Lions? I don't know about that. I think we're going to see something different in this game, though. I think this is going to be outdoor. The weather is improving a little bit. There's some strong steam on the over, and I'm going to go under. I'm going to add that in play. I'm going to take the under 44. And I just think that the conditions and the way the first game went, completely out of control, got away from themselves. I've seen this movie before. The second game ends up being a lot more reserved. And with the Lions dinged up on offense, you know, the Bears have been improving defensively very well. I forget the guy's name from Washington that they picked up, but
Montez Sweat.
Right. He's been awesome for Chicago, and the Bears' defense has become healthy, and the Lions' offense has been sputtering. They've had issues. They are not rolling over teams like they should. So I don't think Lions are going to light up the scoreboard like we think. And I think that they'd be happy if they were able to drag this game out. And it's still going to be a little bit windy. And Goff and his little tiny hands isn't going to be able to throw the balls far if it's windy. So there is still a chance for rain. But the weather conditions are probably going to be okay. But I just see this game as being a little bit more I just don't think it's going to get out of control like that first game went.
So this game is the poster child of how pros bet. And the total starts out, opens up 44, and there's really, really terrible weather forecasts. And everyone bombs the under. And it goes all the way down to 40. And believe me, they're not bombing the under based upon the matchups, because Detroit is a stone-cold nuts over team. And the Bears, I think, with an improved defense but an improved offense also, I would still prefer overs in Bears games. And then the weather forecast, though, drives it down to 40. Looks like it's going to be horrible. Latest weather forecast, typical day in Chicago, which is not even, as Chris mentioned, one of the top 10 windy cities in the U.S., only top 20. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but good enough. So we go ahead and make our picks. We have our choice. We can make a live bet right at the number that the games are at when we're doing the show, or we can play and lock in our plays at 10:30 when we submit them to our graphics team. So I gave out the over 42.5. Full disclosure, I did give it out to my clients over 43 shortly thereafter. And I know that sharp guys are banging the over. But the bottom line is, it all depends on the number you get. It's like the 1994 movie Disclosure. I stopped watching movies right around that time. But that was, I think, Michael Douglas, Demi Moore. And they ask him, well, Why doesn't the under work anymore? Why is the assembly line not working? And he's like, well, the specifications got changed. You know, there were memos written. Things, the circumstances changed on this. And turned out Demi Moore had sandbagged the whole line by trying to cut costs. And in this case, I think the bad weather forecast is going to possibly sandbag the under bettors, because it has markedly improved. Let's hope for a 23-20 final and everybody wins.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the YouTube comments, and this is one of the games that where the line sits now on the point spread. I don't want to play it. And there's going to be a couple of games that are going to be moving to better lines for what I want to do. So I will update with plenty of time to spare. Probably a play on this game involving the Lions in one form or another when the line changes. And I would update any losing orphan legs on any teasers or parlays if a front end lost also.
Bez, I did see some sharp, money coming in on the Bears as a home dog here. Do we think it pushes it down to 3, or is 3.5 kind of the dividing line for you?
You know, my gut says Chicago's the right side. If I take a look at my power ratings, I make it a dead 3. Yes, I make it 3, so 3.5 would certainly be value.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be shocked if we close 3. I told the graphic friends in the back to queue up the live bet here because I bet the over 43. There was 143 left here in town once I saw Fez was on it and once I saw a little bit of the past history with these teams. So the Lions are, as Fez alluded to, a stone cold nuts over team. They've gone over 4 straight and they've scored at least 31 in 3 straight against this Bears team. So they put their foot down against this Chicago team. Obviously, the game a couple weeks ago did go over by about 10 points. The total was 47.5 there in Detroit. Game landed 57. So I'm on the over 43. Fez gave out 42.5, and we'll stick with that number. And then Chris coming back now that the line has moved up to 44, coming down on the under. So a little bit of conflicting action here. But again, 2 different numbers, 2 very different bets, and that is a peek behind the curtain here. Lions, Bears, how the pros usually like to play these kinds of situations. So let's move on to another divisional battle, this one in the NFC South. Panthers at Saints. Look ahead, New Orleans was -6.5. We've seen some buyback here on Carolina, though. Now getting to 5, and Panthers, of course, coming off a tight loss in Tampa. They did cover, but they did not win against the Bucs. But it was their first cover since late October, and they beat the Texans outright. So congratulations to Carolina in that dead cat bounce after firing Frank Reich. They don't win, but they do cover the number. Saints lost, failed to cover at home to the Lions. That game was kind of all over the map. Detroit got out to the big lead. Then New Orleans almost tied it up and took the lead themselves. But late push by Detroit made sure New Orleans fell short in that game. This is a rematch of Monday Night Football game back in Week 2. Saints won 20-17 in Carolina. The spread was 3, so a push there on the closing number in this rematch between 2 division rivals. No bets for us here unless Chris has a rogue teaser that I'm unaware of. We'll start with you here, Chris.
I'm going to have to wink this game out a little bit. We're still waiting for some information with this game. When we saw last week, we had a similar situation where Carolina came in 5.5, 6-point underdogs, and just got bet down. I have an interest in the Saints here a little bit, or at least some interest, but I want to investigate this game a little bit deeper. I find this to be very interesting because this division could be a 3-way tie, 6-7, with Atlanta, Tampa, and the Saints all tied possibly after this weekend. And New Orleans seems like a decent shot. What I'd actually like to do is bet the no against Atlanta to win this division because you should be able to get about plus 150 on that bet. If Atlanta ends up losing, then Tampa and New Orleans are in pretty good shape to win the division. They'll basically control their own destiny. So there's a lot of moving parts. I'm going to come back in the YouTube and probably figure out something to do with the Saints, but there's no urgency to this. I don't think anybody's pounding the gavel to bet the Saints in a hurry. I think Carolina's drawing the interest at this point.
Yeah, my numbers make the Saints a much bigger favorite, but that's without adjusting for injuries, and that's with Carr. Yeah. So with that uncertainty, I think I've got to wait. It's funny, Chad Mooney says, New Orleans Saints, N.O. Saints, as in no bets. This whole division sucks. The only good part about the South here is always makes me think about Leonard Skinner and you know, the song Freebird, which everyone has to agree is the greatest rock and roll song of all time. Oh, better, boy. Certainly, you know, than Stairway to Heaven. And maybe Rosalita and Springsteen as an honorable type of mention. All right, many will say that's only his 4th best song. I'll stick with Freebird, best rock and roll song ever. What do you guys think?
I can't argue with that. I think the biggest discrepancy here is definitely the quarterback situation. I did a little brief. I mean, it's really hard to figure out the concussion protocol, but Derek Carr is currently in it. You've got Taysom Hill. You've got Jameis Winston. I mean, I think from a betting perspective, this one's a really tough, right? Like, where does the number go if it's Winston? Where does it go if it's Hill? Like, there, it seems like there's a lot of variables to kind of calculate here, depending on who is under center. Chris, did you say you think we see more Carolina money come in and this one gets down to maybe a bettable spot for New Orleans?
I just think there's a little bit of interest in Carolina. I don't think anybody's going to be in a hurry to bet the Saints at this point. And why would you? There's no urgency to bet it at 4.5 or 5, because if you leave it alone, it'll go down to 4 anyway. So there's time to make a decision if you're interested in the Saints. The market should just take Carolina action.
The irony is
this number moves.
The irony is that 5 is a dead number, but yet the Carolina was sitting on 5 last week and almost landed 5.
Yeah.
So, they're all important, bottom line. A gun to my head, if it's Winston, it might go down 0.5. There's been remarkable support lately for the Carolina Panthers. We all saw that line go down to 3 late Saturday night, early Sunday against Tampa. What the hell was that? And oftentimes, I joke about it. I see like, oh, sharp money on certain teams. I'm like, sometimes it's just money. But certainly if Carr plays, money's going to pour in on the Saints.
And the Lions landed on 5 last week, so it's not completely.
Yeah, 5 and 2. I'm convinced because of the 2-point conversions. I'm not calling them key numbers. I'm calling them squeaky numbers. 5 and 2 are now squeaky numbers in the NFL because of all the crazy point shuffling and decisions that get made. So don't just rule those numbers out now. They're a little squeaky sometimes. So no plays across the board here. Panthers, Saints. I think Chris is probably going to monitor this one to see where the line moves, and he'll probably jump in the YouTube chat if he decides to fire away a little bit later in the week. But let's move on. Speaking of the NFC South, a lot will be determined in this division this week as we have multiple divisional matchups taking place, all in simultaneous fashion. Bucks at Falcons, look at here, Atlanta -2. Not a ton of movement, just a hair off of the 2 there, but we haven't hit the key number just yet. Bucks off of that aforementioned home win over the Panthers. They did not cover the spread, but they did win the game. Falcons won and covered in MetLife over my hapless Jets. They've now won 2 straight. And guys, it does look like if the Falcons win this game, they will hold the tiebreaker over the Bucks because they've already beaten them earlier this season. That game was back in week 7. Atlanta won in Tampa as a 3-point dog. So now this game back in Atlanta. And again, it looks like the teaser market, Fez, I'll start with you. It seems to be the way we're all kind of looking at this one.
Yeah, this Falcons team stinks, but I've got them rated like 2.5 points worse than an average team. But every week they get to play another team that's like 2.5 points worse than an average team. So they all wind up like every one of their lines is less than 3, and teasers are the way to go. So absolutely, if you want to wheel and deal a whole bunch of teasers in this game and take the Bucks up 8.5, I have no problem with that. I'm curious. I know we're a football betting show, but if anyone wants to put an underrated, what they feel is the best rock and roll song of all time that doesn't typically appear on some lists, have at it, and I will grade you on that. Full disclosure, if the song came out, if it's Nirvana or any group past that, I may not recognize them. Thank you.
How about Pac-Man Fever? Wasn't that Nolan Bushnell? Is that considered? No?
I defer to Jared.
I don't even know who that is. To me, it's Chuck Berry, King of Rock and Roll. That's really the only guy that I care about.
Atlanta can't get margin on anybody. They haven't been able to. I believe all their games teasers have covered, though. I don't have all the results handy, but their matchups are so teaser friendly, it's not even funny. And they all end up being toss-ups in the end. Yep. I have these teams basically rated side by side, so getting points is a gift. And I think Tampa Bay is the better team. They're done. If they lose this game, they are done. So this is for their season. And I just think Tampa's the better team. They've got 2 great receivers. They've got an adequate quarterback. Their defense isn't the worst around. I don't understand. This game should be a pick 'em. I think we have a couple of points of value just straight up alone. Adding the extra teaser points is just a nice bonus.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's kept a lot of games close this year. It lost to the Colts by a touchdown. The Niners game got a little out of hand, but they covered that number. Lost to the Texans by a field goal, lost to the Bills by 6, lost to the Falcons again earlier this year by 3. And then that game against the Lions was really the last margin game that they lost, losing by 14 as a three-point dog there. So they've kept them all kind of within striking distance. And to Fez's point, Atlanta's not exactly a team that wins with margin. They couldn't cover the teaser number last week against the Jets. I don't see why the Bucs can't keep this within the teaser. So that looks like to be the prevailing play, right, Steve?
Yes, Jared, if I had to ask you, what team in the NFL would you be the most fearful of if you laid 2.5 and I told you, hey, they won the game, and you still aren't sure that they covered?
Atlanta,
right.
It has Atlanta. To be the Falcons, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. So that seems to be the move. Yep, Baltimore, right. You're pairing with Baltimore, I think, Fez, right?
Yes, I am.
And Chris has got the three-teamer there with Tampa Bay, with San Francisco and Pittsburgh. That was a little earlier in the show. We gave out Pittsburgh plus 4, and then we'll put Tampa Bay in that mix. This is a 10-pointer, and we'll pair them with the Niners, which we'll get to that game a little bit later. But first, let's move on. A very intriguing game now, all of a sudden, after what we saw on Monday night, Colts at Bengals. Look at here was Indy minus 2, and I'm not surprised, even though the Colts did win and cover on Sunday in Tennessee. We've seen this line now inch a little bit towards Cincinnati. Of course, the big reason why Jake Browning played really well and Cincinnati went on the road and beat Jacksonville is almost a double-digit underdog. But I think the other reason why maybe this line has come down a little bit is the Colts win in Tennessee was just fluke city. Back-to-back block punts. I don't think I've ever seen two consecutive punts by the same team get blocked. But that's what Indy did to Tennessee. That also injured the punter, Stonehill, which led to a botched snap by the backup holder, backup quarterback Ryan Tannehill. So just a lot of special teams variance in that Indy-Tennessee game, which did lead or end with a Colts victory. And it does look like in this game, besides a total that Fez is targeting, not a whole lot of love in this game for either side. Fez, you want to fill me in on your angle here?
Yeah, so Indy is indeed an over team. And let me tell you, I think if they've got 4th and 1 at midfield, they're going to go for it instead of punting after last week's bizarre game. But no, Indy's aggressive, and I should say Tennessee's going to go for it. The stats were pretty equal in that game, frankly. But Cincinnati, huge power rating upgrade. We thought that Browning was horrific, and he obviously did great. Most passing yards for any Bengal quarterback all year long. Bad weather report early. That's why we saw this total dive bomb. And now weather much better in the Queen City. So WKRP in Cincinnati, we're gonna go over the 43. Good up to minus to over 44, I think.
Indianapolis is just one of these sneaky teams that everybody thinks sucks. And they're 7-5. They control their destiny. They are one of the top 5 improving teams some way, somehow over the last 5 weeks. It's obviously with smoke and mirrors because I would have never guessed that. It kind of showed last week. I waited for Indianapolis to become the underdog, and they never did last week. So I was throwing in last minute bets. I'm like, God, I can't believe I have to bet him as a favorite. And it kind of tells you that there's money that does support them, because I think people aren't generally looking to play them. And here we're looking at the exact identical situation. You come in off of Monday Night Football. Cincinnati's rejuvenated. They took care of business. Their backup quarterback looks like he's going to be just fine. They're going to be playing at home. They still have some playoff chances. They pulled out all the stops, and they're certainly not going to lay down, and they aren't favored at home against Indianapolis. Well, there's something wrong with that, and the something wrong with that is that Indianapolis isn't a bad team. I'm going to wait on this game before I'm going to bet it, because nobody's going to bet this game up. I certainly would endorse anybody taking a Bengals teaser over 7.5, but I'm looking for Cincinnati to become the favorite before I get involved in this game with Indianapolis.
I think I like your over angle, Fez. It looks like some of the numbers I'm looking at has this into the 50s too. So I think I'm going to tail you on this over 43. I like this look, and there's still plenty of 43 available in town. So cue up another live bet. I guess we're all about the overs here on the live bet board here early in the week. That was my biggest surprise of the week, was Jake Browning. I don't know if this is a guy that maybe is good for the system, right? Because it's really a, I mean, there's some talent on this Bengals offense. Just got to trigger it right. And Higgins and Chase, I mean, those guys had a game against the Jags. So
their wide receivers suck throwing the ball. They have the worst throwing wide receiver core in the history of the NFL.
If the Bengals receivers just stay away from throwing it.
Cincinnati's got a lot more problems than people realize. But, you know, Jacksonville wasn't preparing for what happened with them last game. Indianapolis has a week to prepare for this quarterback, and that makes a lot of difference. And that's, you know, a lot of these quarterbacks that fill in, they look great for a game, sometimes two. But once you get some film and you can prepare for them, it gets a little different story there.
Does the short week scare you at all, Fez?
For
a backup quarterback?
Yes. Ideally, I'd rather the offense have more time, you know, when prepare. But I mean, it's not like it's a Thursday game. It should be fine.
Yeah, that's true. It's just one day. But I do think, based off of, you know, the weapons on both sides, I mean, I think the Colts have some pretty good offensive firepower, too. Minshew's not afraid to sling it. I could absolutely see one of these teams touching 30, no problem. So over 43, that's Fez's wager. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon, too. And tail him with a little live play. Chris is going to stay off it, but keep an eye on it throughout the week as we move forward. All right, let's move forward ourselves. We are contractually obligated to talk about my New York Jets every week, or at least when they don't have a bye. That's not the case this week because they are playing. They're hosting the Houston Texans. Look ahead here is Houston minus 4.5. Of course, you're probably wondering, why is the line moving towards the Jets? Well, I'm guessing the quarterback situation was unsettled, and now that we are confirmed, Zach Wilson is going to start this week. He is, as crazy as it sounds, an upgrade over Tim Boyle, who was released. And I'm assuming he's an upgrade over Trevor Siemian as well. Guys, Houston continues to win games. I think that's the craziest part of last week. They held Denver to, I thought it was going to be an offensive game last week. I know we're all kind of on the over there with Houston and Denver, but the Texans defense held the Broncos to 282 total yards. So if that's the case, I don't know how we're going to see a lot of points this week, because the Jets defense did a good job against the Falcons. They held them to under 200 yards, still lost the game and didn't cover, so it didn't really matter. But Fez, defense seems to be the premium here with your play.
Yeah, it's all about weather. Bad weather in the Jets, and frankly, any Jets under looks good. You got a total of 33, so if I can go first half under a 17.5 minus the $1.20, I'll do that every time. Tank is out for Houston, so they lost one of their weapons, obviously. But Houston's been impressive. Frankly, this was supposed to be a terrible division. As always, it's a good spot for the Jets. And as always, people are betting on the Jets like they do each and every week, along with New England. They, you know, these pro bettors, they're like, I'm going to throw out another rock and roll best song ever.
Stubborn.
You know, Cheap Trick, Surrender. You know, the sharp bettors believe the Jets are all right. New England's all right. To me, they just seem a little weird.
It's a little weird.
Just a little weird. But as far as Houston and them playing well, I'll stick with the Surrender song. Whatever happened to all last season's losers of the year? And that was certainly Houston, but they're not losers no more. So no Jets for me, just the first half under.
Wow. Chris, I don't know how you follow that up, that musical interlude there, but go ahead, try.
I'm going to have to start taking edibles if the conversation is going to be going back into rock and roll or something. He's losing me sometimes. No, I'm kidding. Houston's been bread and butter for me. I love them, but this is a this is a unusual spot for them. Asking a team like this with their experience level, missing their receiver for the first week, to lay more than a field goal on the road against a organized professional team, that's asking a lot. So we're letting this line go down and percolate before I'm going to make a decision to do anything on it. I'm still going to lean Houston here, it's a, you know, it, they should handle this team. They really should. But, you know, situationally, at some point, they, you would think this team has to hit a wall, but you don't step in front of the train.
Yeah. I thought it was last week. I mean, I was on Denver plus 3.5 last week. Russell Wilson's driving down the field, last drive of the game. I think it was first and goal. If not, it was like first and 10 in the red zone. And Denver unable to get the touchdown. It would have twofolded us, Fez, because if Denver scored that touchdown and got the 2-point conversion, they would have obviously covered the 3.5, but we also would have pushed our 47 on the over. So just, I guess living on the edge, I guess, is where this Texans team is right now. They are playing a lot of close games. They lost one 2 weeks ago to the Jags. They won one last week to Denver. We'll see if the C.J. Stroud hype train can roll into MetLife Stadium this week and continue. Chris, I do have you in the spreadsheet here for a Houston-Dallas moneyline parlay. Is that something you want to give out, or are we hitting pause on
that? Oh, did I put that in there?
You did have that in there, plus 129 on a Houston-Dallas moneyline
parlay. I'm good with that. I, my apologies. I forgot that I put that out there. It was such a flurry to get all my stuff in, but no, I do like that. I mentioned that I like Houston to win this game. And, obviously I like Dallas also, which I'll talk about during that game. But, yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot I put it in the money line parlay.
All good. Good, excellent reference to Aerosmith Living on the Edge as well, while we're doing rock and rolling. Oftentimes, as a pro bettor, you feel like you're absolutely living on the edge, just pulling back the curtain. I blasted out of here at 8 a.m. I dropped my son off to school, went over to Station Casinos to get at numbers to play specifically Detroit, Chicago over 41. And you're literally living on the edge between having a super profitable bet, a marginal bet, and a bad bet, depending upon what number you get.
100%. 100%. And the way that these games go, probably going to be decided by the refs anyways. So all the handicapping we're doing right now is utterly useless once we get to Sunday. But let's move on to the late window because, hey, we still got to cap the games regardless of if the referees ruin it late or not. Look ahead here, Niners and Seahawks. This is the return matchup from Thanksgiving night. Look ahead was 10.5. It got bought up a little bit, but now we're kind of right back where we started. The Niners, we were talking about it last week. I thought once we reached three, obviously that was kind of the stopping point, but there wasn't a stopping point for San Francisco because the three did not matter. They won by, I think, 24, what was it, 42-19? They won by 25 points, excuse me, 25 points. Doing my math here on the fly. And the Seahawks D got kind of pushed around by Dallas's offense, gave up over 400 yards. Seattle did cover that game last Thursday night in Dallas, but they lost outright 41-35. Again, this is the return matchup from a few weeks ago on Thanksgiving night. The Niners won this game by 18 points. They covered on the road as a 7-point favorite. San Francisco owns this rivalry, guys. They've won four straight, covered four straight. We're all kind of passing on it, though. I'm assuming, Fez, the number just a little bit too heavy to play the Niners in this
one. Check your abacus, my friend, on the mathematics there. But that really doesn't matter. They won by more than 20. Let's pull back the curtain here.
23.
So Seattle was catching 7, and they got crushed, right? So we got to make an adjustment in what that line would be should they replay this game in Seattle. Let's bump it 2 points, and we'll go to 9, right, based upon what we saw 2 weeks ago. Well, both teams kicked butt last week versus expectations, so let's keep it 9. And now we're going to flip home fields. Home field's worth 1.5 in each direction, and we get to 12. So with this line at 10.5, we'd say, all right, the Niners look to have a little bit of value, but it's a really bad spot. As good a spot as it was for the Niners last week against the Eagles, now the Niners are a little fat, drunk, and happy, having just beaten this team 2 weeks ago and then having crushed in Philly last week. So that's got to be worth about 1.5. So I'm right back to, I think the line is basically right. Full disclosure, this is how pros bet. I'm sorry. I know you want the right side. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry that I have not done better in my bets that I've given out here on this particular show. But I played plus 12.5. A well-known sports handicapper gave that out, and I grabbed plus 12.5, and it went down to 10.5, and one book ticked to minus 10, reduced vig, and I was like, heck yeah. Slammed the minus 10, minus 105 back the other way, and that's just how pros bet. Oftentimes, both sides getting value. I pass.
Chris, Not a whole lot here. Yeah,
you're exactly right. I was just having a board rundown discussion with somebody that I work with to bounce ideas off of, and we're on opposite sides of this game at different numbers and different betting techniques, and we're perfectly happy with our positions, and it's I love San Francisco to just win this game. So it's I love it in a 10-point teaser. I'm using it probably in a variety of different ways, and I feel pretty darn confident in it. They're the better team. They're the better team against any team in the NFL by at least a couple of points at this point. If they stay healthy, nobody's stopping them. So it's just a matter of them being able to stay healthy. I respect Seattle. They've got good coaching. They did come in with the good effort last game out, but they're still, you know, trending downward for weeks. And they've got a tough road to even make the playoffs. They're underdogs to make the playoffs at this point. And I actually, if I had to, I would bet San Francisco actually finds a way to cover this spread. It wouldn't surprise me at all, but I'm using them in that three-team teaser that starts off with Pittsburgh and has Tampa Bay plus 12.5, and I will find other uses for it also.
Love it. Yeah, I went the wrong way on my math there, guys. I appreciate the people in the chat that got on me for that. I know 42-19 is 23. You try hosting a show on the fly while also doing math in your head and tell me how easy it is. Also, a great point. If you're in the chat right now and you haven't liked our video yet, please click the like button. It takes like a split second and it helps our metrics. So always support the show. If you're in the chat interacting with us, you're getting information, hit that like button as well, because we really appreciate the engagement. No play for me here. No play for Fez. Chris is putting the Niners in a 10-point teaser. And I agree with you, Chris. I think San Francisco Baltimore is my Super Bowl pick today if I gun in my head had to pick it. So Niners probably find a way to cover this number. All right, let's move on. Vikings at Raiders. How about this fun little intriguing nugget of a game? Look ahead was Minnesota -1. We have seen a pretty steady movement here towards the road favorite all the way to that key number of 3. Both of these teams are coming off the bye, which I think makes for a very intriguing handicap. Vikings, last time we saw them, Monday night in at home to Chicago. They failed to cover as a 3-point favorite, failed to win as well, lost that game outright 12-10. Raiders lost by 2 touchdowns at home to the Chiefs 2 weeks ago, failing to cover as well as nearly a double-digit underdog. So it looks like we're kind of looking at the Raiders now as a bit of a value play now that it's gotten to 3, huh, Fez?
Yeah, and some have criticized me for like typically only picking off what's a really good number at the book here. And hey, frankly, that's what pros do. We pick off good numbers. We don't like to just play market numbers typically, but my power ratings scream Vegas. I've got Minnesota a slightly below average team. I had them a slightly below average team last year when they were 13-4. I refuse to believe that even with Justin Jefferson coming back, that there are anything more this year. I know the defense is way better, but the offense has to be way worse without Cousins. And I don't have the Raiders as just pure garbage. And I think they're still reinvigorated. They've been basically home all month long the past 5 weeks. They've had only one road trip and a bye. I make the game a half. And if I make the game a half and I can get 3, I have to play it. So Las Vegas plus the 3.
Mm. Chris, anything for you here?
These teams are not close. Minnesota is the better team here. The Raiders are going to get played. The line's going to come down. And I will wait till the line comes down below 3 before I'll take action on it. Jefferson's going to help. I also think they look particularly horrible. I had a huge bet going into that Monday night football that I had to sweat against Chicago. And when Chicago scored a touchdown, I figured it was over because Minnesota's offense looked like they were never going to score a touchdown. So I felt grateful that they actually lost the game by 3. But I also think that they were in a situation last game where they didn't have a quarterback in the wings that was prepared to play. So they couldn't have him out there running his game and risk getting injured. So he didn't run. That limited the offense. They gave him vanilla, easy to predict passing plays. And the interceptions that he threw, are you kidding me? What part of the hands did they need it in before, you know, they would just throw the ball into the opponent's hands? I mean, if you really examine it, you know, the way that game went, Minnesota was not as bad as they look, because they looked horrible. But there's explanations for it. And they're a better team. They're more well-rounded. And I was just a couple weeks ago, I said the Raiders are playing very well, and they've been improving, and their defense was getting together. And but at this point, the balloon is deflated on that team. So it's they're going to book tee times at some point here coming up for the end of the season. I think Minnesota wins this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I was on Minnesota 2 weeks ago. I think at three, Fez, I guess the follow-up here, now that you're on Vegas at three, I'm assuming we're going to probably see this move back down to 2.5, and maybe that's the opportunity to bet Minnesota. Should we wait if we like Minnesota to wait later in the week?
I believe so, but this is probably the ping pong back and forth. Some obtuse angle group went ahead and laid 2.5. That's very good at what they do. And people are like, hey, these angle guys, you know, they like the other side, Fez. They like Minnesota. And I'm like, I assure you, they don't like Minnesota -3. They like Minnesota -2.5. There's a complete difference there. So I know if you lay 2.5 and you lay $1.10, you take +3 and lay $1.10. Historically, that is right around break even. So you're kind of doing a no vig situation. It's certainly not going to go to 3.5. So if you like the Vikings, I'm not sure you're going to get -2.5, but wait it out. And at the very worst, I think you're going to get -3 at like +100.
Yeah, there's no way this goes to 3.5. Like if you like Minnesota, you feel very comfortable waiting the entire rest of the week to see where this line goes, because especially based off of Fez's action at three, not going to push back past that. So if you like Minnesota, you might get a 2.5 later this week. If not, lay off the game, because Mr. Fezzik is taking the Raiders +3 as a home
dog. You got to have your number. You don't settle for numbers. Just like Steve said, there's no way in hell I'm laying a 3 in this game on the road. You just wane it. You don't get impatient. So I'll be back in the YouTube comments. I'll update what I end up doing with this game later on.
Good stuff. All right, let's move on. AFC West, Broncos at Chargers. Look ahead, Chargers -3. We did see some slight movement here towards the road underdog. It kind of fluttered to 2.5, but now we're kind of sitting back at that 3 mark here. But it does look like the Broncos, off that tough home loss in Houston, again, got a little bit of early love in the market. They did not cover as their 3.5-point underdog there. Russell Wilson threw 3 picks last week, which is no bueno. And it snapped a 5-game winning streak for Denver. So Denver was coming in hot. They got planted back by Houston, and now we'll see how they bounce back. Chargers, I don't even know what to make of that game last week, guys. 1 and covered in New England. 6-0 was the final. They covered, but I don't even know if it was a worthy cover. Failing to score a touchdown for the first time all season. And Fez, I noticed during that last handicap there, the last game, you got in the spreadsheet and added a live bet. Why don't you share it with us?
Yeah, I'm going to live bet Denver +3. I'm going to ask both of you first before I do my handicap. Who's the better team here?
Chargers.
By in a my lot head. Or a little?
Well, the Chargers are never better by a lot against anyone. It's always 3. So it's either win 3 or lose 3, right? It's field goals.
I have them dead even.
All right. And I agree with both of you. I have the Chargers just a 0.5 better. But I think at the end of the year, we're going to look back and say, who was the better team? And we're going to say, oh, well, Denver was the better team, you know, when the season finishes up. But I accept right now the Chargers are 0.5 better. How much is the vaunted SoFi Charger home field advantage worth, would you say?
0.
Chris?
I think you lose 0.5.
You know what? I'm gonna use ridiculously conservative assumptions. I'm going to say the Chargers are 0.5 better. And wow. What the hell? I'm going to give them a point for home field. Of course, it's undeserved. I still only get the 2 with those conservative assumptions, and I'm getting 3, and I'm getting Denver off of a loss. I know that the Chargers need the game like blood. Guess what? They need every game like blood for 3 years, and they win half of them.
Denver needs it too. They're both right there.
It's going to be an overtime, and we're going to be catching 3, and it's going to end in a tie. Give me Denver plus three.
Yeah, you can never lay three with the Chargers, right, Chris? They never win by more than that, except for last week.
Well, no, I would definitely, if I had to take something, I would certainly be on the Broncos side here. I'm not sure, I might end up on the Broncos in some way or some form. We saw last week that their turnover regression did occur. They were plus double digits for a short period of time, and they just kept coughing it up last week, I believe. And that may continue. I hope that they bounce back, because I need Denver season wins over. So I'm rooting for the Broncos, and I think what's going on with the Chargers is completely inexplicable. Yeah, there's no explanation for this team.
Sweating out the Denver 8.5 season win bet. Yes, right on track.
I have over 6.5 and I have over 7.5. So I thought they were dead.
Oh, you're styling. You're good.
It's an interesting stretch run for Denver here too, guys, because this is the first of two games against the Chargers over the next month. Denver also gets to play the Patriots in that stretch. They go to Detroit on a Saturday, which is no picnic, but then they close against Vegas. So you can make a realistic case that, you know, Denver's in all their games down the stretch with the exception of that Lions game, and that win total is very much in play. I agree with you, Fez. I think if you can get three with Denver, and it looks like we've kind of fluctuated between the 2.5 and the three here this week, but three being the prevailing number now, that seems like a pretty safe bet, right? We're not going to 3.5 on the Chargers at any point this week, right?
I think it's going to go to 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5. I agree. So three seems like a pretty safe bet on the Chargers, or excuse me, on the Broncos. That is where Fez is putting his money. A little live bet, mid-show action. Chris is laying off the game for now. All right, let's move on to what should be, perhaps, the game of the week. I know we've got another one Sunday night in the NFC East, but this is an AFC Championship rematch from a few seasons ago. And these teams played last year as well. It's the Bills and the Chiefs. Look ahead was Kansas City -3. We've seen the move towards the road underdog since, off that key number, now hovering around 2. Bills off the bye. Tough loss 2 weeks ago in overtime against the Eagles. You could say they should have won that game. They didn't. They pushed the 3-point spread, though. Chiefs on short rest. They lost in Green Bay Monday night outright as a 6-point favorite. So we'll see how the Kansas City side responds from losing outright as a favorite. Now Kansas City, since that game in Germany, guys, and we always use those Europe games as kind of a check mark of the season, because since that game where Kansas City beat Miami in Germany, they've now lost 2 of 3, and they've, you know, shown a little bit of weakness since then. Last year, these two teams played same exact spot in Kansas City. Buffalo was a road favorite there, and they won by 4, so they did cover the number, but that was kind of the peak for Buffalo, right? Because from there, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and the Bills kind of went in the other direction. Chris, I'll start with you, because again, this kind of wraps up one of your teasers that we talked about earlier in the show.
You know, boys, there's some strange line movement in here on this game. It just goes to show you that the people with money are not supporting Kansas City. I can't believe, frankly, that Buffalo keeps getting hit. And everywhere it just seems like there's a groundswell of support for Buffalo off of that painful loss in Philadelphia. They did such a great job and shot themselves in the foot over and over again and should have walked away with that win. And it was a bad loss for them. And then they go on the bye, and somehow their power ratings go up when they didn't do anything. And people's respect for them went up, and they didn't do anything. So it just seems like that's the narrative with Buffalo lately. So I like Buffalo. I have Buffalo in this game. It's just really odd that KC is kind of sputtering. We expected them to sputter at this point, because this is a really tough stretch for them where they have a rest disadvantage for, like, I don't know how many games in a row. Yeah. Obviously Green Bay is as poor as that refereeing was, and it cost Kansas City at the end. Kansas City didn't deserve to actually be in that position in the first place. So they're getting outplayed. And I think that that isn't an easy fix for Kansas City either. Buffalo is in critical crisis mode for this game and should keep this at the very worst within teaser range.
I concur. I also am teasing them. No pronouns. I'm teasing Buffalo. Buffalo's off the bye, so it's a good spot for them to circle the wagons and try to save their season least this week. I got to tell you, like, and I don't have an answer for you because, like, I'm a professional bettor. I bet a lot of money, and I see ridiculous line moves, and it's happening in this game. So the line was 2.5. That's fine. And it drops to 1.5. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what idiot is betting plus 2.5? Because one, there's, you know, asymmetric risk. Who cares? I know two. We talked two, so kind of a wonky number now. But I don't even know if wonky is the right word there. But
squeaky number.
Yeah, I like your number better. Two is becoming a squeaky number. But the point is that who bets plus 2 instead of teasing to plus 8? Nobody. Nobody I know. We haven't bet plus 2 since like 1988 before teasers were invented. So I just don't get that. I mean, maybe the books are getting teased to death. And maybe the books are just moving on teaser bets, saying no.
Yeah.
I don't want any more of these, you know, teasers through 8 because 8's a squeaky number as well. But I could only tease, you know, Buffalo. Well, the one concern, obviously, Buffalo can completely outplay them. They completely outplayed the Eagles. They still screwed that one up.
Yep.
And lost the game. Same thing could happen here.
So the only nugget I'll give you here is Mahomes is 16-3 straight up off a loss. 3-0 this year straight up and ATS. They do well. Like, this is historically the bounce back spot. Like, they rarely lose 2 in a row, and they've never lost 3 in a row with Mahomes. So it's hard for me to see them losing this game, but the teaser angle makes a whole lot of sense. I think, and I guess the follow up, Fez, do we see a pick'em? Like, does this get all the way back down to 0 before the Kansas City money steps in? I mean, I'm already seeing 1, 1.5. I guess at some point there's got to be Chiefs money, right?
No, the Chiefs money has already come because, I mean, Kansas City's, I mean, they're better than Philly. And Philly was laying minus 2.7 against Buffalo. I know the spot matters, but the spot was really good for Buffalo when they were against Philly, and they still couldn't get it done. So it can't go any lower than 1.5, in my opinion.
So, Chris, is this the buy-in spot? If you want a buy low on Kansas City, 1.5 seems to be the number.
Yeah, I think this should be the low, you know, unless there's something that we don't know. But I'm at a rare disadvantage because I usually know why a number moved, and this number moved on me, and I don't know who moved it and why. And as Steve referenced, this year and last year, for that matter, have had some really dumb buy points. I mean, just idiotic buy points. And Steve's 100% right. You're brain dead if you bought that at plus 2.5 today. Just absolutely brain dead. More money than cents, because you just leave it alone and let it hit 3. For God's sakes.
The only thing I can think of is the defensive injuries for the Chiefs maybe are a little bit more pronounced than we think. Tranquil's, their green dot linebacker, was banged up last week, and they're one of their better safeties also got hurt. But I don't think that would move a number a point, but I'm just throwing things out there as maybe some Buffalo advantages on defense in the secondary for Kansas City, maybe a little bit weak. Fez, does that resonate with you at all before we move on from this game?
Oh, of course. It resonates with when Buffalo was at Philly. How'd that plus 2.5 work out for people?
It did not work out well at all. So keep an eye on this number this week. I think at some point I'll get involved with Kansas City. You know, if it stays at 1.5 for another day or so, and I don't see that immediate, I think I'm going to bet Kansas City, but there's too much Buffalo love on this pod. So I decided to stay off it for the intensive purposes of the show, but I do think Kansas City wins this game. But let's move on. It does look like teaser is the way to go for our two panelists here. On the Chiefs as they're moving it. Chris is using it 3-teamer and Fez is doing the traditional 2 with Baltimore. All right, let's go to Sunday night. And this, I would say, is the game of the week because not only do we have NFC East implications, but MVP implications and, of course, the division as well, as things are getting really tight between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Look ahead was Dallas minus 2. Very strong move through the home favorite here through that key number. Philly, of course, coming off that disastrous loss at home to the Niners, a 23-point loss, 42-19. See, I can do math, guys. Dallas is off the mini bye, right? They beat the Seahawks last week, didn't cover that game, but the offense looked pretty good. This is the return matchup from 4 weeks ago in Philly. Eagles won by 5. They covered as a 3-point favorite, but let's be honest, we all watched that game, and Dallas could have easily won and covered. A couple of really fluky plays towards the goal line prevented the Dallas cover there. I'm pretty excited about this one, but Chris, I'll let you go first because you are using one of these legs, Dallas, in a moneyline parlay.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. I originally thought that Philadelphia would be coming in here with literally zero pressure, and the pressure was on Dallas basically because they've beaten nobody. So, you know, there has to be an adjustment in the model or metrics, because they're beating up on crappy teams and they perform differently against better teams. So, but even with adjustments like that, I still can justify Dallas winning this game at home. And there is pressure on the Eagles, because if they lose this game, San Francisco has a legitimate chance to run the table and grab that number one seed. They have the tiebreaker against Philadelphia after beating them, and Dallas has a rough road. They still have a handful of very difficult games ahead of them. So this is a game that San Francisco is going to be really interested in seeing, because if Philadelphia loses, San Fran has a beeline for that first round bye and the number one draft pick. So pressure is on the Eagles. There is little cracks in their armor, and Dallas is, you know, they're running on all cylinders. So I'm backing them. They're part of a moneyline parlay with, I forget who I paired him with, Houston.
Yep.
All right, so pull back the curtain, having been part of many betting syndicates, and we'll do like little grades in this game. What is the good story? The good story is Philly just went through their gauntlet of 5 contending teams, did very well, stole some games like against Kansas City, won the first 3, then ran out of gas and got murdered last week. And we're concerned about their energy level this week. Where does the line go? If McCarthy isn't calling the plays, Wilkman asks, I don't think the line moves at all based upon that, whether McCarthy calls them or not. But I'll say, you know, the look at line, you lay 2 or 2.5. Boom, I got playing cards. I'm going to give you the ace, the best card in the deck. There you go. You get the top, my top grade if you lay 2 or 2.5. But you know what? You didn't need to lay 2.5 on this game, and I did. Go ahead. And I'm going to give myself, like Queen of Diamonds. Something along those lines, where -3, perfectly profitable bet. -3, lay $1.10. That's like a 54% bet on this game. I like the fact that Philly's out of gas. Dallas has revenge. Dak stepped out of bounds, diving for the pylon, or the tight end caught the ball on the 3-inch line and couldn't get in, or Dallas would have won the first game. So that's a 54% bet. That's styling. That's of like a 3% rate of return bet. But guess what? Given that's a 54% bet, I'm going to round it up to 55% just to be ultra aggressive. At -3, it becomes a 50% bet, because 10% of the time, Dallas is going to win the game exactly by 3, and it becomes pure garbage to lay $1.10. So I have to stay on the sideline. So if you're going to lay 3.5 and think you got value, here's your grade. You get like a crummy card, and you're not, you know, you're not styling. You're just a joker pretending to be a wise guy. So
I am a joker, though. So I'm just going to lay 3.5 because I think Dallas is winning this game by margin.
Jared, why not just wait until post, go to one of the local shops?
But that's the question. Like, is it going to go to 3? You think it's going back to 3?
No. Go to one of the local shops. Go to Delaware Downs and lay 4 right at post. They're going to kill them.
And that's fair. I think this is the one game that I circled this week that I knew I was going to give out on this show, and I didn't really care what the number was, because I wanted to be on the ledger to say that Dallas is going to win this game and win it with margin. I think the over really is a more intriguing play here, because I do think what we saw last Thursday was the true Dallas defense, which was get after the passer but give up a ton of deep plays down the field. I think Philly can take advantage of that. So I think this is going to be, if I had to script this one out, Dallas gets out to a hot start, come out hot and heavy, 14-0. Philly answers, and then Dallas pulls away late. I don't know, let's call it 33-27. I think that's the final score prediction here. And I think Dallas wins with margin. So I'll go Cowboys in the over. Obviously, I don't love giving out 3.5 when there were 3s available, but I want to be on the ledger with a Dallas pick this week. What do you think? +100 is a fair bet than -3, -120, right, Steve?
Yes, and to be fair, year-to-date on performance, we are going to go ahead and we are going to grade Mr. Jared, who has kicked butt all year long. He has been a king.
And my
results have been a 2. So
no,
if we're playing war, the king beats the 2. And if we're playing AC Ducey, we will go in between going forward. So excellent job for the king of the BetUS NFL podcast year to date, Jared Smith.
I appreciate
it. We've got Swift and Goddard. They're going to be going. So that's going to help the Eagles out. Goddard's been out for, 6 weeks or something?
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I like the over. And I know pros don't bet this way. Full disclosure, guys, I'm not a professional bettor. So take that into full account when you're hearing my
yet.
Picks. Yet. Yet. I think, to me, the over is a twofold bet. One, I could see Dallas putting up 30, 40 points in this game, just like the Niners did last week and just like Dallas did last week against Seattle. But I think the protection here is if that Philly offense comes to life, that's, to me, is a dead nuts over game. And Dallas might not cover the 3.5. Maybe they win by 3, but I feel comfortable that I'll split these two bets. But I think I've got a pretty decent shot to go 2-0 here. It's the only game this week where I feel strong, confident, side and total. And a great nugget in the chat. If you like the Cowboys this week, which I do, bet Dak Prescott to win the MVP. He is not even the favorite right now at BetUS. It's Brock Purdy. And if they win this game this week.
How can Brock Purdy be the favorite when he's not even the best player on his team?
I mean, this is
just ridiculous.
He is the favorite right now to win the MVP at BetUS. I gave that out in my little social segment that I send in this week. If Dallas wins this week and Dak looks good, Dak will be the MVP favorite next week. Zero doubt in my mind about that. So just things to think about as we move along Sunday night. Let's go to Monday night because we're running short on time. We got 2 games here. Titans at Dolphins. Look ahead, Miami -12.5. Obviously, this is a one-way traffic, right? I think 14 is kind of where we saw some of the buyback. Dolphins won and covered easily last week against the Commanders, crushing my under. They almost covered the over by themselves, thanks to some pick sixes. And if the season ended today, guys, Dolphins are the number one seed because they own the tiebreaker over Baltimore because of the win percentage in conference game. So, Chris, I'll start with you. This is one of the bigger spreads we've seen all year. Any angles for you?
I used it in a 13-point teaser. Those are tough to find. But other than that, the Dolphins will win this game. And they want to get out of it healthy and move on to the next game. I don't think Tennessee has a chance. Time is money. I don't have anything else of value to say about this game.
I think Tennessee is going to win this game convinced. No, just kidding. But there is one angle to be aware of, and that is Miami gets a completely unfair home field advantage because the Dolphins get to be in the shade during the day games and their opponents get to be sweltering, and it can make more than a 20 degree difference in terms of the heat index depending on game day. Well, since this is a Monday night game and the high in Miami is only going to be 75, there's no advantage from that. So if you like the Titans, that might be a reason why these bullies that are the Miami Dolphins might not actually be able to cover this number with that extra advantage. If you like what my co-hosts are saying in the show, be sure to smash the like button despite my suspect rock and roll opinions and the like. Do go ahead and smash it. I am on the sidelines. I don't disagree at all with the over 46 that Jared, you like, right?
Yeah, I think Miami's proven to me that now defensively they're trending up, but they lost their best linebacker last week, one of their best tacklers, Baker, and Hollins also banged up. Those are their second and third leading tacklers on the season. And the Titans might be without Derrick Henry because he's hurt. What does that mean? Well, that means the ball is going to be in Will Levis's hands a lot, who's actually shown a pretty good propensity to throw the ball down the field. Obviously, Miami can throw the ball down the field. So I think both teams might be a bit of a pass funnel here. And Miami's offense I don't think there's a lot of defense in the NFL that can keep up with it. Definitely not Tennessee. So I don't know. Let's call it 31-17 here. Dolphins win, Dolphins barely cover, and the game goes over 46,
I'm going to be looking at the under on this game a little bit. I forgot about that because they got some info late on this game. But Miami's defense is vastly improved.
It is.
We talked about it last week. So, you know, Tennessee's not going to be putting up points. And I don't think Tennessee's the sieve of giving up huge bushels of points either. So, not a huge fan of the over, but I don't have a wager on it. So, good luck on your over.
I appreciate it. Yeah, again, I think it's more of just a numbers thing for Miami. I see them very much into the 30s. And it's all about whether or not the Titans can score two touchdowns. And I think they can. So over 46 for me. Let's move on, though. Last Monday night game, Green Bay in New Jersey, technically, to take on the Giants. New York City, if you want to be a little more regional about it. Looking at Green Bay was -4.5. We're now seeing it touch 7, but we are seeing some buyback there on the Giants at the 7. Packers on short rest. Of course, they beat the Chiefs outright as a touchdown underdog earlier this week, Monday night. Giants are off the bye, so extended net rest advantage for them over a week. They beat the Patriots 2 weeks ago, 10-7 at home. They covered, obviously, as an underdog, won outright there. Green Bay's now hot, right, guys? They've won 3 of 4, or 3 straight and 4 of the last 5. And Jordan Love's a big reason why. You'll get Tommy DeVito for the Giants again this week. And Fez, that is not deterring you from betting on, hey, Tommy DeVito, hey.
Yeah, give me some veal scallopini, and we'll go ahead. By the way, fact of the matter asks, are the pros on the Titans? I'm sure he's wondering. Are the pros on the Giants? Well, we got Monday night games that are lined at 13.5 and 6.75. And so no good union carrying sharp sports bettor would ever take the Titans plus 13.5 unless they were kicking off and he was out of time and he'd take him on an exchange plus 13.5 at even money or -102. But he's going to hold out, of course, for the 14, which inevitably is going to bounce up somewhere. So we're going to wait and take 14. And same thing with this game. No way we're going to take plus 6.5 with Tommy DeVito, who was a crummy college quarterback. He probably was decent enough in high school, I'm guessing. But real bad spot for Green Bay. You know, tear down the goalpost type of victory. I get it. They don't tear down the goalpost in the pros. I was looking through my portfolio. I have it one book. And at that portfolio, I have about 6 weeks ago, I have Green Bay in this game, games of the year, +1.5. I'm sure that's when Danny Dimes was before he got injured. And I also have Green Bay just a few weeks ago, not long ago, Green Bay -3. So I know Green Bay has done very well. And they've had back-to-back great performances. But the Giants, have they really done anything the past few weeks other than improve versus what we expected from DeVito? So how the heck did this line go from 3 to 7? Mark Holmes says sharps are on the Giants. That Mark Holmes knows what he's talking about. Give me some New York Giants +7. And if you can't find +7 now, be patient, be cool, wait, and back the DeVitos when it inevitably pops up on Monday.
Yeah, great comment by RJ here. Green Bay going from home dog to road favorite. Buyer beware. That is a scary notion, especially a full touchdown road favorite now in New Jersey to take on the Giants. No official play for me here. Fez is on the Giants +7 and Chris laying off as well, but we'll keep an eye on this one as we move forward.
I'll probably play this in an update on the YouTube. Okay. But if anybody has a 37, you should take the under 37 because it's down to 35.5 some places. And there are still some 37s out there. So live actionable info.
I mean, listen, that's what this show is all about.
This is a big spot for Green Bay to be asked to lay. There's no way in hell I would be laying 7 or, you know, needing Green Bay to win by more than 7. But it doesn't mean that I won't find a way to. I think Green Bay has enough to play for, and they're just on a roll. And I think that they're well coached, and I think it's solid. I don't think it's I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. I trust that they're doing it, and they do have a foundation for a good team, and that this isn't just a blip up. I think that this is a decent team.
They're 16-0 under their coach in December. 16-0.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy stuff with the Packers. All right, let's get to a couple questions here. We'll do an abbreviated Q&A because we're running long here. Obviously, we had 15 games this week. We had a lot to get to. I'll get to the most recent question because this is a really good one from Rico. How much value do you put in historical trends when betting? Steve, is that something you really care or look into?
It all depends. You basically have to give me a trend that makes sense that I can go ahead and back. To use an example, in college football, when the armed forces teams play each other, that was a trend that did great to bet the unders when Air Force, Army, or Navy played, because they run the quirky option, which is it's like a bad chess opening. It's completely flawed. Anyone who knows how to play against it busts it up and takes advantage of it. But if you haven't seen that opening and you haven't seen the option, it's very hard to stop. So that was a trend that made sense, that all those games went under, especially when they're totaled in the 50s and 40s. But once the trend gets to be completely understood and widespread, like they have in Army, Navy now, then it becomes suspect to back. What the biggest problem with trends is when you have situations, and probably Green Bay 16-0 in December. I don't know if that's, you walk by a lot of roulette wheels and you see a lot of 14-2 blacks or 15-1 red runs. And, you know, I always use that under a harvest moon when the Bengals are wearing dark colored jerseys and they have a backup quarterback, you know, they're undefeated, you know, type of thing. And it's just random noise. Well, I mentioned, hey, the crew, do check out the college football show that they do just a tremendous job. I'm going to give out a bonus pick. Blue Horseshoe loves Navy +3.
Love it. Chris, anything to add on historical trends?
I may be mistaken here, but off the top of my head, I can't name any historical trends that I care about for the NFL pre-2015. I just feel like so much changed in 2015 that's what I care about. And that's not a long time period, so to speak, either. So you don't have extended history of this game the way it's being played now.
Yeah.
So, but in general, you have to take all of that stuff with a grain of salt, because anything that is really smart and actionable, well, most of the books or somebody associated with the books has that same information or will catch wind of it. If anything that is really stands out and looks important makes it out into public, well, then everybody knows it. And we all know that when anything goes to one extreme, it usually bounces back. So somebody in the comments mentioned, and this is what I agree with, I care about what affects the players and the coaches that are on the team currently. And football has a huge turnover. The average career isn't even 4 years. We lose 10 head coaches and more than 10 assistant coaches every year. So the turnover is absurd. Other than the uniform colors, I don't know what stays the same from year to year.
Not even that stays the same anymore.
No, it doesn't.
The Bengals wore white uniforms on Monday night.
I know.
Right? So.
And probably the poster child for this is those who bet the NBA playoffs, is that for years, when a team went down 0-2, you back that team in the first half.
Yeah.
And
but the books now make up for it by overjacking the line in game three.
Right. So now in game three, the inferior team is going to be laying 4.5 points, and they're going to be laying 4 in the first half. So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Last year, I think there was a game where a team was a larger favorite in the first half than they were for the game.
Yeah, the first half trend really has gotten fully baked, doubly baked. Good question. And again, the sports books have better data than we do most of the time. So they're going to get ahead of this stuff. And they're usually pretty good at I would say they're better at doing their jobs than we are at ours most of the time. So really good stuff. Good question. We'll cut the Q&A there, because again, run a little bit long. Want to get to the golden ticket reveal now. No idea who it's going to be this week, but if it's Fez again, I think I'm going to call a rigged deck, stacked deck against everyone. It's everyone's favorite. This is arguably now my favorite time of the week. Yep, there you go. See, I mean, listen, I am the king of BetUS. Fez is a tough beat. Who is the guy last week that bet me on the look ahead that I'd have the golden ticket? That person should win this week. I don't know.
Oh, he got +240, so that was insane value.
Yeah, he had good closing line value too.
Yeah, fantastic closing line value that I was going to have the golden ticket this week. So congrats, whoever picked me. We'll let our friends behind the scenes flash up. There you go, Hector. Good job there, Hector. You get the prize this week. Don't forget, you have to be a subscriber of the BetUS YouTube channel. You have to follow BetUS on Twitter and send them a DM, and they will get you a free entry into the Tough Truck giveaway. But now it's that time of the show where we show you what we're betting on. And I it has come to my attention that I forgot to give out one of my picks. We were so excited during the Chiefs-Bills breakdown that I forgot to tell you that I'm on the under 49. Not a whole lot of reasoning there besides these two teams know each other pretty well. And I think they're more defensive teams these days than they are offensive teams. So 49 is a pretty high total in the NFL, considering what we've seen with the offenses this season. So I thought under was a decent look there. Steve is the winner this week in terms of most bets on his card. But I'm assuming, Chris, there will be a point where you add to this list based off of your YouTube notations.
I will visit the YouTube, but I don't go in there for some full assortment of adding this or adding that. I just go in there once or twice to either reset a orphan from a losing front end parlay or teaser, or to specifically play the games that I mentioned I would return in. So I'm not looking to add a bunch of stuff or this, that, and the other that I didn't at least refer to on the show. Sure. So, but I will be in there.
Fez, do you have a favorite child this week?
Sure. So I will go with the Tommy DeVito's, because even if the dollar does this and the yen does that and the infrastructure does the other thing, like in other people's money, Danny DeVito is still going to say that the New York Giants catching seven, the Green Bay Packers are not good enough to be laying seven on the road to anybody. Giants plus seven.
And Chris, I've learned my lesson not to ask you for your favorite child. Instead, I will just say, go back to the YouTube chat this week, because Chris will be very active in updating you of what's happening. But that's all for this week, guys. Week 14 starts on Thursday night with the Steelers and the Patriots. We appreciate the time. Good luck with the picks. Of course, don't forget, smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel. Lots of great content here on BetUS. For Steve Fezzik, only available at pregame.com. There he is over there. Las Vegas, Chris. I'm Jarrett Smith saying farewell.